happy. This you can bear. You stood right beside me, yeah, and I won't forget. And I really love you. You should know. I wanna make sure I'm right, girl.
Party 1019, New York's number one for throwbacks.
Welcome, 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 welcome. Welcome back to A Fashion Moment with Ty Chun. I am your boy, Ty Chun. This is Party 101.9 iHeartRadio, The Matrix Studio. Thotty was bringing us Frankie Beverly and Maze before I let go. And unfortunately, we had to let go of him this week. He had gotten his wings. And I'm going to talk more about him in a second, but I wanted to open the show with him, and the whole show I will be playing Frankie Beverly and the Maze music. I wanted to give another shout out to someone else who got his wings this week was James Earl Jones. And he was he was one of my most favorite actors. His voice was iconic and his look was distinct, and he had a very long career. He was 93 years old at his passing, so if we could all be so lucky to do so and live that long of a life, those just the things that he saw, and at least he got in his lifetime to see the very first black president, something that my grandmother got to see on my paternal side, something that she thought she would never see in her lifetime. So that was something to be grateful for, and to see a successful campaign for the second black woman to run for president, because, you know, Shirley Chisholm was the first. Let's not forget that and give her her props on whose shoulders Miss Kamala Harris stands on. I got my boy in the building, Warren Graham. He's an educator over at Columbia University. Yes, he's an Ivy League professor. He's my way back friend from college, and he will be joining us all season long starting this fall, and coming in and out to talk about different things with education and things that we talk about when people are, you know, going through emotional things and stuff like that, because we're always talking about these emotional check-in things. And I told you guys that you know, last week you guys got to see a reboot of the Ty Chun show, because I had to have a break. The week before that, I know I told you guys I was having like this whole thing and I was feeling mentally exhausted and all of that kind of stuff. So unfortunately, into the story of Frankie Beverly and Maze, he had just recently retired at the age of 77, and he didn't get a chance to enjoy his retirement at all. And unfortunately, that happens to a lot of our people. We work until our last day because we want that very last dollar for our pension, and we want every cent that's owed to us. And I keep telling folks, you can take that time and just kind of chill out, and you'll get to your full equity at some point. But the money that you spend on lunch and transportation is the same money you're trying to save or trying to get back or whatever and stuff like that. So I pivot from that to say this. I live for fashion, live for fashion. And my show, shout out to my show, was on February 7th. I'm already in February for my birthday. It was on September 7th during New York Fashion Week. And I noticed myself stressing out and getting, you know, really, really bogged down and stuff like that. And my pressure went up to like 180 and then almost hitting 200. And, you know, those are like stroke level kinds of things. And I don't suffer from any kind of, you know, hypertension or diabetes or high blood pressure or cholesterol problems and all of that. So it was obviously due to the stress of me, you know, doing so much and not taking care of the number one factor is yourself. And that's one of the things that I wanted to kind of chime in on with you, Warren, because Frankie Beverly literally worked himself to his grave. And I took that time because I was like, you know what? Everybody gonna just have to wait. Let me just get me together, you know what I'm saying, or whatever, and then be the most fabulous me that I can be, or whatever. So you deal with social work and all that kind of stuff. You teach that. You teach, you know, all that kind of stuff, whatever. So what would you say to, like, the Frankie Beverlys out in the world who's still in the industry doing that, the people who work in your field who want to keep their tenure for 10 million years and don't want to pass the buck, and all the people in Congress who need to be going, Clyburn, excuse me. And that laugh that you hear is one of our other guests from Three Blind Mice. And you know that at the quarter after, I always introduce them. But you can say hi to everybody.
Hello, everyone. Hello.
So, Warren, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, we need to normalize self-care. You know, we need to normalize what it is to really put things in perspective. You know, not only am I active at Columbia, but I also have a private practice doing therapy.
Private practice. Wait. We ain't going to skip over private practice. Come on, brother, now for the private practice. Let's hear for a brother with a private practice. Like, that's not something, that's not no small feat.
it's definitely not. And, you know, I started my practice as a need because I kept running into people of color who were like, I can't find a therapist who understands my culture, who understands my experiences.
Right, right.
And because of that, that's getting in the way of that therapeutic process.
Right.
So, you know, we often introduce issues of self-care into that space.
Right.
Because, like you said, we work, because that's what we've been programmed and conditioned to think we have to do.
Exactly.
Work. Without any attention paid to the things that really matter.
Right.
And you know, health is the new wealth.
Health is the new wealth. Well, it's always been the wealth. Funny, we just learned that.
You know, if we all pass out at our desk, guess what? In a few days, they'll have somebody else in our seat.
Not so even a few days, 5 minutes, because somebody got to get that that report out. Yeah.
Somebody has to do the work. So, yeah. So, you know, it's a constant state of, you know, when you're creative and mm-hmm. you're inspiring people, mm-hmm. I would assume it's difficult. It's even more difficult, you know, kind of taking stock and turning off and giving yourself that moment to pause like you did. Mm-hmm. But it's something that's necessary.
Absolutely necessary. Absolutely necessary. And you know, like, guys, I tell you guys all the time, and thank God today I didn't have the drama of the car service drama that I'm having. Every week I've been telling y'all about a little horror. So I got driven in by my mommy today. We were hanging out, so went to go get manis and petties and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, the lips and nails and blop and popping and all that kind of stuff. And my toes too, but I can't show them. So but, you know, doing that, and we just was like, let's just go into the city, I'll do my show, and we'll do something afterwards or whatever, so I didn't have that drama. So it was a really peaceful day, and I had decided, Warren, and that I am going to start to take these moments no matter what, you know, every day. Because, like, Mondays are my Sabbath, right? That's the day that I kind of shut down and I don't do much of anything. And I kind of just, like, let the world be the world and all that kind of stuff. Try to, at least. But now I'm realizing more and more, the older that we're getting, the closer that you start to see death happening rapidly, and you're paying more attention to it and stuff like that or whatever. And I feel like I'm still in college, but I'm not still in college. You feel that way
very
too.
So tell
me what your experiences, as because I know, and like I said, we'll introduce at the after the first break. But give us just like a little bit of like what it is like, because you're in the industry and stuff like that. Right?
I am, but like with like that specifically, or just feeling like youthful.
Feeling youthful.
I think just being a creative in general. I think to have an imagination, you kind of have to tap into that childhood well-being that you have. And I think that's what really keeps me young.
Right.
And I think that was
right.
Just, I was blessed to have a great childhood. So right. I always tap into that.
Stop showing off. Great childhood.
Yeah, I was very blessed for that. I think that's why I'm like young at heart.
Right.
Yeah, keep that youthful energy going, mm-hmm. which I think is important, too.
Right. Well, introduce yourself really quickly. Not about what you're doing, just your name.
My name's Imani Nia Robinson.
Imani Nia Robinson.
I'm so happy to be here.
Yay, Imani. Yes. So Imani is here, and we're getting ready to get into why she's here or whatever. But I just wanted her to kind of speak to how do you take a mental health break?
Oh.
That doesn't look promising.
For me, like, again, back to my childhood, my mother was always really like pro mental health. Mm-hmm. So like if I was like stressed out, like, and I just had to tell her how I was feeling, she would say, you just take a mental health day. So I was
really
yeah, she was very progressive. My family's very progressive. So
I have your mom.
She's fabulous. And I think that's really why I'm really just like take my mental health seriously. Mm-hmm. And so I actually really enjoy knitting.
Mm-hmm.
And I find
really?
That, yes. I find that it really helps relax my mind.
Okay.
And also, if I'm ever like, need someone to talk to, I will call my mom or just like kind of unplug from the world.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also really big on therapy, so I have a therapist. I think mm-hmm. that everyone really needs one.
Everyone needs
not
one.
Not to have a yep. problem, but just to maintain.
Just to maintain.
So all those things together.
Yay, Imani. Mm-hmm. Nia Robinson.
Indeed.
I live for that full name, honey. It's just everything to me. So, okay, so we are going to go take the pay our water bill. This is, we'll be back with Imani Nia Robinson and my boy Warren Graham, and we'll be jumping into why she's here for this wonderful. She's a writer and director of a wonderful project called Three Blind Mice, and we're going to get into that and why she's here. And you guys know that when I'm obsessed with somebody, I stalk them. So I stalked her to get her on this show, and she showed up for us. So let's show her our love and appreciation and as we go out to pay our water bill. My name is Ty Chun. This is a Fashion Moment with Ty Chun, Party 101.9 iHeartRadio. You already know the vibe. And you know I forgot the call-in number again this week. So, you guys, I hope you remember it from last week. But Thotty's going to get it to me during this break. Take us out with another Frankie Beverly.
The Big Apple is cranking real throwbacks.
New York City.
The new Party 101.9. New York's number one for throwbacks.
Sunshine and rain. Ooh.
Party 101.9, New York's number one for throwbacks. Welcome back to A Fashion Moment with Ty Chen. I tell you guys out in Radio Land, if you were in this studio with us, you were Kiki, you were Hippo, Hurricane Holla. Like, and I need to stop being so hood and telling y'all that I forgot the phone number. That is so unprofessional. It really, really is. But my honey, is the mind of a man of maturity. So y'all have to get me some Ginkgo Biloba or something so that I can remember. So if you guys want to call in, the number is 646-807-2992. And of course, we're at A Fashion Moment with Ty Chen. I'm your boy, Ty Chen. This is iHeartRadio, Party 101.9, The Matrix Studio. That was Joy and Pain by Frankie Beverly. Thank you, Thotty, for bringing that song in. Like I said, we're celebrating the life of Frankie Beverly and James Earl Jones, and sending them off with their golden wings. They've been tremendous in our society, and you know, we keep losing our greats. So speaking of greats, we have someone great in the building. And as we do here at the Fashion Moment with Ty Chen, I allow you to introduce yourself and why you're here today.
Absolutely. So my name's Imaya Robinson. I am an actor foremost, but I have also created a fabulous pilot, which is TV series called Three Blind Mice. And currently, I'm here because I believe you saw a post that I made from the Essence Festival.
Yes, exactly.
Yes. We have won 12 awards so far, which I'm really thankful for.
Come on, awards.
Absolutely.
No gloss over that. That's a big deal.
Well, first of all, let me go back and backtrack. I'm a Baltimore native.
All right, Baltimore.
Yes. And I started in this entertainment industry 14 years ago. Mm-hmm. And my first ever gig was HBO's The Wire, season 4.
Wire.
Yes, I'm so excited about that because my dream forever has been to be an actor.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to Baltimore School for the Arts to continue all my training.
Okay, with Tupac and Jada.
Yes, the best school. And then I went to college at California Institute of the Arts.
Okay.
And there I had numerous internships with HBO in the writer's department. And I was like, okay, maybe writing would be something I'm interested in.
Wait. Slow down. You did internships with HBO?
I did.
Would you please say that again? Because I talk to these young folks all the time and they don't understand
the importance of internships.
Exactly.
Yes. That really is what was the stepping stone to like my success and also just learning. Mm-hmm. Especially in this industry, you really just learn by doing.
Right.
And there are many different facets of the industry. And so you don't really know until you try them out.
Mm-hmm.
And so, especially the business side of things, being a creative, I really had to learn the business side.
The business side,
and that
exactly.
was really challenging for me because I'm very much so right-brained.
Right.
And the business side was intimidating, but mm-hmm. I think that these opportunities really helped me.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I graduated from college, I got a gig on HBO's The Deuce as an on-set PA.
What? I live for The Deuce.
You did?
Yes. Are you kidding me?
Fabulous. I'm really happy that people watched it. It was definitely a slow burn, but when the show got picked up, I got promoted to be the executive producer's assistant.
Mm-hmm.
So I really got to learn the ins and outs of the script to screen,
which is an important thing because people don't understand. They just see it on TV and they don't understand that there's a whole process, you know what I'm saying, in order to get that, first of all, the idea onto paper and then into a script format and then into somebody's hands and then somebody to like it and somebody to do it and then for it to be greenlit and all
of that
stuff.
Oh, yeah, there's so many moving parts. Mm-hmm. And then when you learn how many moving parts there are, you'll even write differently.
Exactly.
So even in terms of locations, you have to think about the budget.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want like a big location, you might have to just write something different depending on what the budget is. Mm-hmm. Just thinking about how many background actors can fill that space.
Right.
And just so many things. And so I really learned the ins and outs, which I'm really thankful for. But that really helped me today with my series, Three Blind Mice, which has now been like a 6 years
project that I've been developing, but mm-hmm. I really came up with the concept in middle school because right. I did go to predominantly white schools most mm-hmm. of my life, and mm-hmm. oftentimes I was the only black girl in class. Mm-hmm. And so just kind of navigating what that felt like, being told I wasn't black enough by mm-hmm. both my white counterparts and my black counterparts.
Right.
And to me, I'm like, I have not seen a character on screen who was black but didn't feel black enough.
Right.
Now, maybe a mixed character.
Right.
But someone who's like...
fully black.
Fully black. I'm like, this might be really funny. And so I also kind of collaborated with that in terms of my love for the 90s.
Uh-oh.
I absolutely love 90s sitcoms. Mm-hmm. And yeah, definitely, I think that it just showed the beauty of the black experience mm-hmm. and black excellence.
Right.
And so I really love living single in a different world.
Right.
And so Three Blind Mice is kind of like a millennial version of those two shows. So it's about a young black woman named Naima who was adopted by a white family in Massachusetts.
Okay. Well, look, wait.
Oh, yes.
Let's not give away all the tea.
Oh, it's just the log line. So she transfers to an HBCU in Baltimore mm-hmm. to try to have the black experience.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds like me. I went from Morrisville to Coppin State.
You were saying that. I told you that we filmed at Coppin's campus.
That's crazy. So I just want to understand why... did you think that this was the first project that you should do, you know, with all of your vast experience, like you said, that you interned at HBO and you did The Wire and you did The Deuce, like seeing these, those successful, very successful shows,
sure.
You know what I'm saying? It must have been intimidating to, you know, like be like, okay, I'm going to put this together and this is the first one that I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was like my very, very first script that I wrote.
Okay.
And it just evolved to what it is today. I don't know if you were able to see it, but I'm really proud of like how much work I put into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was intimidated, but mostly just because I knew it had to be done really well.
Mm-hmm.
It had to have the best equipment to shoot it, because I knew that if it didn't look polished, I wouldn't be taken seriously.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I was intimidated to put my idea out there because I know that it's a great idea. I just want it to be done.
Come on, confidence.
Correctly.
Come on, confidence. I am not mad at you at all. I find it interesting, first of all, when you said that you are you had to learn how to, you know, understand why people were like, oh, you're not black enough, whatever, and you're completely black or whatever. And you out in radio land, you can't see, but you're like fair-skinned, light-skinned, or whatever mm-hmm. they want to call it or whatever and stuff like that. I just don't call it anything because my family comes in all shades of the rainbow, you know what I mean? So I don't think of it that way, you know what I'm saying, whatever and everything, whatever. But I guess it kind of put me in the mind of Issa Rae when she was talking about awkward black girl and stuff like that or whatever mm-hmm. and whatever. Could you speak to like how you felt like having to navigate those waters? Because I know that it's something that's a very uncomfortable thing for especially black women to talk about. And I know we can go down a rabbit hole with it, but I just want to know how you felt at that time.
Well, I actually got into acting because I was a painfully shy child.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt most confident on stage because I had a script to memorize, so I knew what I had to say.
Right.
And the director would tell me where to go, so I knew my blocking. So I didn't have to think much. I could become whoever I wanted to become.
Right.
So off the bat, I was, pretty timid. But then people telling me who I am or who I am not was another layer. Where I had to figure out what my identity was mm-hmm. and how I had to feel comfortable with who I was. And that was just really challenging.
Mm-hmm.
It's already challenging enough growing up and trying to decide where you fit in the world.
Right.
So then adding that, but then also adding colorism to the mix as well, was just a really confusing time.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let me ask you a question, because I know, I too am a filmmaker and, mm-hmm. I do understand the process of that. And when you were doing your casting selection, mm-hmm. right, what made you decide the cast that you decided and how you ended up? Because you worked on The Wire and spoiler alert, Trisha McWiles is in this, he's in this pilot. Mm-hmm. What was your choices going through? Because I looked through the cast list, and the cast list was phenomenal. Because I stalked your IMBD, and I just like because I'm obsessed with this project. I just think that it's so dope, or whatever, and everything like that. And the fact that it won the awards was like secondary, if not tertiary, to me. The fact of your story was more important to me, and I was like looking at what you were doing, and then seeing the different things that you worked on and stuff like that. And I know, you know, you pitch a look or whatever for the cast and stuff like that, mm-hmm. when you're figuring it out. But what made you decide to go with the cast? And did you have The Wire in mind when you asked Tristan to be a part of it?
Okay. Well, first and foremost, I definitely wrote this for me because I didn't want to wait for someone to cast me.
Oh, yes. Wait a minute. Okay. All right, Spike Lee.
Absolutely. And I did.
So you were writing a job for yourself.
Absolutely.
Can we get a high five? Absolutely. Yes. You better work and write your own job, honey.
Yes. And being that I worked on, you know, HBO.
Wait. I'm sorry. Can we just rewind one more again? Because I need people to understand that this young woman did not wait for Hollywood to write a role for her. Her words exactly was, first of all, I wrote this for me. So you can ask about Tristan all you want, but the fact is I'm starring in this because I wrote this for me, because I wanted to create a job for me as an actor.
And you know what? Not enough people do that. We talk about having a seat at the table, but you don't have to sit at somebody else's table.
Exactly.
You could create your own space, so you could sit at your own table.
That's right.
And as a creative, you could chart the course of your own project.
And that's why I had to rewind that, because I can't let them not know that that's a boss move.
Thank you.
And I'm proud of you for that. I am so proud of you. Like, I got chills right now.
I love that. Thank you so much for affirming me. But about the casting, yes. So being that I worked on The Wire and mm-hmm. then also HBO's Me on This City, both taking place in Baltimore City,
they
both of those shows were phenomenal, are phenomenal. I'm thankful to be a part of them. But they didn't really show the beauty of Baltimore.
Mm.
And oftentimes Baltimore is shown in a negative light.
Very negative.
And that is my hometown, and I want to show the beauty in Baltimore.
Right.
They actually have like a really booming performing arts
community. It is a very booming performing arts community.
And I wanted to show that because it is called Charm City for a reason.
It is called Charm City.
And I wanted to show that first and foremost. And then with the casting, I did think it would be really beautiful to like have a Wire reunion.
Word.
So along with Tristan Mack Wilds,
Jermaine Crawford, yes, he's in there. Yeah.
I was like, oh, wow, like, we could just, like, kind of just come together and you know, and back in our, you know, the hometown of Baltimore. But with the casting, besides those two individuals, it was very important for me to show, like, new faces.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so many people out there who are so talented but don't have the chance.
Right.
But I also wanted, like, there's an actor plays Damon, Anthony Helen mm-hmm. Jr. He's a native to Baltimore, and he has a thick accent. And like, I want someone who just, like Snoop from The Wire.
Right.
She wasn't an actor.
I know Snoop.
And it was so genuine.
I'm
like, you know, I just want new faces, new talent, and people who are really genuine as the characters, because I want you to feel like they're your friends.
Absolutely. So we're going to stop there at new talent, new faces, and genuineness, or what have you, as we go and pay our water bill again. Again, we have Imani Nia Robinson in the building, and her project is Three Blind Mice. And she is one of the dopest people that I've met in a very long time. So you guys give her flowers right now. We got to go and pay the water bill. This is Ty Chun, Party 101.9, iHeartRadio, The Matrix Studio. You already know the vibes.
The Big Apple is cranking real throwbacks.
New York City.
The new Party 101.9, New York's number one for throwbacks.
We'll be right back.
New Party 1019, New York's number one for throwbacks. Welcome back to A Fashion Moment with Ty Chun. I am your boy, Tai Chun, and you can call in at 646-801-2992. I'm sure you want to ask Miss Imani something, honey. She has been giving us jewels the entire time. And Imani, I got to say her full name because it's just an amazing name, Imani Nia Robinson. And, you know, and she has just been dropping these jewels, and she has, you know, really set the bar. So I would love for you guys to call in and ask some questions of her at 646-807-2992. Again, her project is Three Blind Mice, and it is a phenomenal project. Guys, look it up online, and you can see the teasers and all of those kinds of things or whatever. She's going to let us know how we can watch it in this next 15 minutes, and she's also going to tell us about what's her next to the next, honey, because there's always going to be a next, especially when you have somebody as talented as her. But don't forget that I have my boy Warren Graham in the building, who is a... That's right, that's right. An Ivy League, honey. Ivy League professor. So guess what, honey? Y'all thought that I was a one-trick pony. Yes, I do know Ivy League professors, and he is my real friend.
For real, for real.
For real, for real. So you had wanted to ask something.
Yes, yes. So, you know, going back as you're talking, I'm thinking about, you know, people think when you are successful, you just wake up and you just find yourself there. Right. So the department I supervise at Columbia School of Social Work is in charge of connecting students to internships. So often the value of an internship gets kind of undermined or kind of lost along the way. So can you talk about kind of what you gained from that internship that is kind of contributing to you being successful today?
Oh, yes, absolutely. So first and foremost,
as I'm hood.
First and foremost, in terms of having internships in writers' rooms, I learned how to format a script correctly, and like which software to use. I also learned like what does HBO specifically look for in regards to their content, because a certain formula that they have to have. Right, and so I got to like read all the scripts that would come in, that they would hope to have like a pitch meeting, and then I just learned just like the different levels of people.
What's a pitch meeting?
Oh, sorry. Like a pitch meeting is a meeting that you have with a producer of a network in hopes of them picking up to series or green lighting your project.
It's perfect.
And so I just thought that, you know, when you would at that age, you would send in a script to a studio, they would actually read it. But really, it's interns first.
And mind you, and it has to be in a certain format, the script. Otherwise, they would throw it in the trash.
Like, yeah, it's just like, crazy. It's just so much. I just learned the importance of presentation.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And not only like with myself, but with my work. And like all those things just matter. But also, I learned it's important who you know.
Who you know.
Which is can be a good thing and a
sometimes
sad thing.
It's not what you know, it's who you know, darling.
Yeah, so just I just learned so much, and also just had like show up to a job professionally.
So let me ask you, because you know, I was at an event on Tuesday. I was invited to speak at an event for UBS, which is a national financial brand, and it was for athletes and sports agents and all that kind of stuff, whatever, and everything. So, you know, it's a room at Felipe Chow's or whatever. And they kept talking about professionalism. They kept talking about education. And it was getting on my nerves, because professionalism and education can be so many different things. Mm-hmm. So when you say show up in a room professional, what do you mean by that?
I know in terms of maybe how you present yourself when you speak, not necessarily like the rhetoric of what you speak, but just speaking confidently, asking, knowing how to ask.
Thank you for the clarification. Thank you. Not necessarily the rhetoric, but being able to say what you mean and mean what you say and get it out.
And like, if you give a task and you don't understand it, it's okay to tell them, like, please explain further, because you can make the mistake of doing something wrong. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it's just how do you present yourself, and how do you show up, you know, with a specific attire, professional attire, learning the ins and outs of that, just all of those things. And just also how, like, office
Professionalism,
but also just office culture.
Right, right.
Like, you can't just tell people, like, your business in the office. Right. Like, they're not your friends. Mm-hmm. Fully. You have to get to know people, fill it out. And it's like, you have to learn that the hard way sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes.
It's just really interesting.
Yeah. It to me, oh, my God. Like, business culture, to me, had always been my pet peeve. Like, I have always been outspoken. I've always been, my mother used to always say, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. Mm-hmm. Because I've always spoke my mind. Like, you know, I have a show called Kids of People Too, and it's owed to a show when we were kids called Kids of People Too, or whatever. Oh, yeah. And everything. And, because kids were supposed to be seated, not heard, and all of those kinds of things, and, you know, curtsy at the thing, and, you know, bow, and all that kind of stuff. Take your hat off in church, and, you know, and when you're walking into a building, and all of these silly rules and stuff like that, that has nothing to do with you as an individual and your value, and what value you bring. And people kind of dismiss you past what your value you bring because of those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. So as a boss now, because now you're a boss, mm-hmm. Are you going to adhere to those same norms in your corporation, or are you going to allow folks to be creatively free but respectful in a way that it's not disruptive to what needs to happen, or do you want them to continue with the norms of the industry?
Oh,
honey, you ain't know, honey. Now you know this is a fashion woman with Tai Chen, honey. I come up with the questions.
That was a really good question. Well, let me say, for me, especially with my project, I didn't get there by myself.
Right.
I had so much support, especially from my mother, who actually fully funded the entire project.
Come on, Mom.
Nice.
Look, I need your mom to be my mom so she can fund my next project.
No, like, I had so much support from you know, Armani Abdul, who are also co-producers of the project.
Yes,
and
yes.
So many people, too, who have just helped with the script, with some ideas. And I just really firmly believe that, for me personally, I like a collaborative space.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's so important to have people on your team who are smarter than you in different areas, whether they're, no matter what, you know, if they're up as a producer or like a tech PA, I want everyone to be involved in the creative process. So I think with that, I will do it differently than the norm.
Absolutely.
I want everyone to be involved.
Everyone to be involved. And let me say, it's so funny because I was at during the Barack Obama administration, he had the first openly gay black man running the Small Business Association. And they did this series called Many Faces, One Dream, mm-hmm. where they were giving out loans and advice to black and LGBTQ alike, specifically black, though, on how to get these funds and how to get these loans and how to get these things and stuff like that or whatever and everything like that. And I remember standing there saying that I've been in so many rooms where I look to the left and I look to the right and there's nobody who looks like me.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So how do I, you know, how do I bring this information to my people or gully them into the room or usher them into the room or what do I do and all of that kind of stuff. So I think it's great that you say that you are willing to, you know, kind of, you know, keep a little bit of your corporate because, you know, it's kind of embedded in you. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that. But yet have a little nuance to it to where folks can kind of, you know, feel at home with you and kind of grow with you and utilize their expertise because I get sick of being the smartest person in the room. And 99.999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999 So I get so sick of that. So I would love to have someone in there who knows better than me, who knows how to run the PAs better than me, who knows how to do the wardrobe better than me, mm-hmm. who knows how to do the sourcing for all the location right. scouting yeah, exactly. and all of those things. It's important to have people who know better than you. Okay. It's important for you to know all of those things
yeah.
so you don't be a fool, but it's important to have those things. I appreciate you saying that. So now I want to move into this point of a fashion moment. Do you have anything else you want to ask before I move into that part?
not so much ask, but I just wanted to kind of affirm, right? Like, I love the idea of allowing people to show up in the ways that they need to show up to contribute to a project, mm-hmm. right? Because we focus so much, so often on identity, mm-hmm. right? And I look at you, right, and I'm putting you in a box, and I might not like that box, so because I don't like that box, I'm going to limit your opportunity and access, yeah. mm-hmm. and to access to resources, right? And what you propose is literally, you know, let's put the boxes away, right? Let's mm-hmm. allow people to show up in the way that they need to show up, mm-hmm. right? To get something moving, right? Mm-hmm. To be able to appreciate each other, mm-hmm. to be able to really work collaboratively.
Exactly.
So I love that idea because that's the problem.
That's right? the problem. Mm-hmm. That's the problem.
That's so true.
Thank you. You did not pick a great guest, y'all. I told y'all, honey, that's like the Ivy League professor, honey. Y'all think that I'm just beautiful. No, but and this portion, I would like to just kind of go into, before we go into our final thoughts, I'd like to just kind of ask you, you know, as we're being hood spinning around these days, I would like to ask you, I'm like empathic, and I go with my emotions and my empathic abilities and stuff like that. But I see 7-year-old Imani Nia Robinson, and I want to know, what would you tell 7-year-old Imani Nia Robinson that's going on in her head at that time that you know now that would have turned out the every way she wanted to turn out?
So what I tell my 7-year-old self now, or what would she tell me now?
You can do both. You better go off. You better do both. How dare you spin my question on me? This is a fashion with Ty Chun. No, do both. Please do.
Okay. So this is juicy.
I'm here for it.
I believe I would tell my 7-year-old self now to embrace your difference, mm-hmm. embrace your quirkiness, mm-hmm. and don't let that like stifle your confidence when you grow up,
right.
because your uniqueness will take you far. And my 7-year-old self would tell me that she's really proud of me, but please go harder because
go harder. Go harder. Go home. I love that. I love that. So now we're at the point at a fashion moment with Ty Chun where we do our final thoughts and what have you. So because you are our guest, I am going to let you go last.
Oh, okay.
Because I love you so much, and I never give up my last spot for anybody. So just imagine, this is the first time for everything. So I'm going to go first, honey, like Madonna, like a virgin, honey. Touch for the very first time. My final thoughts are, guys, please, 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 make sure that you take the time to use this little thing that you walk around with, and it's called a phone. It is not an encyclopedia, and it's not a library. You don't have to leave your home in order to utilize it and find fabulous black women like Imani Nia Robinson and support her in everything she does. Send her DMs. Ask her, can you bring her to your university? Can we do a talk series with you? Ask her what she needs and support to continue the work that she's doing, because it's very important for us to move forward as a community. If we don't uplift her, honey, we make a big mistake. And guess what? Your daughters will not be able to see someone as fabulous as this if you don't look for her. And all you got to do is type in black directors, black PAs, black stylists, da 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 da, and it's done. So I'm going to give it off to Warren, and then finally Imani will give her her last thoughts.
So my thoughts for today are actually based on another therapist and a friend of mine, and he posted something which has really stuck with me. For the last few days, So his name is Jason Phillips, and in his post he says, the best form of freedom is accepting yourself. Mm-hmm. Right. So, you know, as I reflect on my life, being a mature man, what'd you say earlier? Would you call yourself a mature man?
A mature right? man.
Yeah. Yes. You know, I've often thought about all the times and spaces where, you know, I neglected to really lean into who I was, mm-hmm. and how not doing so really denied other people, yes. one, the privilege of experiencing me in my fullness, but also it prevented me from experiencing other people in their fullness as well.
And also in giving them the license to experience themselves.
Absolutely. So I love what you would tell your 7-year-old self, right? Because we need to have that conversation with ourselves more often in and outside of the therapeutic space.
Absolutely. Imani, it is left up to you, my doll. Ooh. And you give your final thoughts. And I am dying to hear what it is that you would say.
Well, to go on theme, I would say, please embrace your uniqueness. You have something to offer, but also always believe you will achieve. And try your best to surround yourself by people who uplift you, because that's how you will go far.
And this has been A Fashion Moment with Tai Chun. Guys, give it a round of applause for Imani Nia Robinson and my boy Professor Warren Graham and myself, Tai Chun, on A Fashion Moment with Tai Chun. Live a flea-free life. Take care of yourself. Take care of someone else. Go to that neighbor's house and buy them a loaf of bread and make sure that they ate today. This has been A Fashion Moment with Tai Chun. Dottie, take us out with another Frankie Beverly.
The New Party 1019. The New Party 1019.
The New Party 1019.
New York's number one for throwback. Whoa, whoa.